faith. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Verse 9, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. One of our ushers will get there. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Again, to another faith by the same Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. God, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. God, we need more faith, Lord. God, Hong Kong needs a movement of faith, God. And so would you come and speak to us in a powerful way that we could release, God, this gift of faith in our community, in our city, Lord. Right now, I pray that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Faith. Now, interesting enough, this gift of faith, it's very, very difficult to get a handle on because we didn't even know there was a gift of faith except it's in verse 9. Only passage in the whole Bible. One little phrase, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing. Most people would probably not identify faith as a gift if not for verse 9. But it is listed, so it is a special gift that are given to members of the body of Christ in order to edify and build up the church. Now, we need to make a distinction, though. There is a gift of faith. There is also faith in general. And so we need to understand this because every believer, you have been given faith. Amen? How do we know that? Because you're saved. And so you cannot be saved without faith. And so right now, so turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, says, you already have faith. Go ahead. This faith is a gift of the Spirit. You know, the faith that every believer has. And this is what allows us to walk with God, to be saved. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, I guess put it that way. And it should be a growing part of the believer's life every single day. That's what we are. But in this message, we're talking about the gift of faith, which is something very different. It's beyond our normal faith. In other words, we can say it's something that's actually extraordinary. This is extraordinary faith that he has us into. So here's a definition. You can see on the screen. The gift of faith is a God-given unique capacity of a person to recognize a given situation that God intends to do something and to trust God for it until he brings it to pass. This is, in other words, God speaks to you or God shows you something. You know it's God and you cling on to this thing until you see it come to pass. I'll give you C. Peter Wagner, as my seminary professor's definition. He says, the gift of faith is a special ability that God gives to some members of the body of Christ to discern with extraordinary confidence the will and purposes of God and for the future of his work. Basically the same idea. Now, those with a gift of faith are usually more interested in the future than in history or even the facts. These people that have the gift of faith, they're so future-driven. They're more interested in what is coming to pass regardless of their present circumstances that are happening right now. This is how faith comes. This is where the Bible tells us that this kind of faith, they can trust God to remove mountains. This is 1 Corinthians 13. It says, and have faith to remove mountains, but do not have love. Let's not focus on the love part, but there is this kind of faith that actually tells mountains to move. Mark 11 tells us the same kind of idea. This gift of faith is like Noah, you know, building an ark on dry ground. I mean, it's crazy. In the midst of ridicule and scorn and criticism and all these things that happen around them, it's extraordinary faith. Now, let me give you some idea. These are some signs, okay? These are some signs that the gift of faith may be in operation in your life. And you didn't even know it, but it's happening there. I have six of them, okay? Real quick. One, an unusual desire to accept God's promises at face value and to apply them to given situations until God fulfills them. You just have this very, very unusual desire. God's promises come, and you just say, sure, fantastic. You know, it's like, you're not the kind of person that's like, well, how about this, and how about that, and how about this situation, and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, God speaks, and you say, that sounds fantastic. Okay, let's go, and you move on. Number two. A lot of times when the gift of faith is operating, people usually receive what seems to be a vision of some future work of God, and you trust God for it until it comes to pass. A lot of times that's what God does. God comes and he gives us a picture of the future. He gives us a vision, and we continue to hold on to that vision until it comes to pass. Another sign is, it's you get a recurring experience in the midst of situations, the sense that God is going to do something unusual, even though most of the people around you don't have this kind of assurance. It's this deep, deep knowing inside. And usually, you're usually the only one that thinks like this. And everyone else thinks you're crazy. Everyone else thinks you're weird in that way. But there's something, it's probably a gift of faith is operating here. Four, there's an unusual desire to know God in his fullness and to depend on him and him alone for solutions for problems. That's when this gift of faith is operating. There's this desire to know God so much and for God to do this thing instead of man or resources, other resources, or those things that happen in our lives. Five, a deep knowledge of God's realness because he and he alone has specifically intervened on your behalf again and again and again. Like you have this track record in your life where God's realness, it's like you know that you know that you know that you know that God is real because you've experienced him intervene on your behalf again and again and again. And so there's incredible faith in that particular area of your life. And the last one, number six, if you have this kind of attitude, probably a gift of faith is there. It's an attitude that says not only that God can do something, but that he will do something, right? Not only is he able, but he's also willing. He will do it. And in fact, in many cases, to know that God has already done it. This kind of faith. This is kind of like the faith that's laid out in Mark chapter 11, particularly verse 24. It says, if you believe you have received it, it says, then it shall be granted to you. And so it's past tense. You walk as if you receive this from the Lord. I had this really incredible experience. I was actually in Colombia, Bogota, Colombia, and I was there, and this prophetic person came up to me. And I used to wear I had a Jesus ring, you know, a Jesus purity ring, like most, you know, good Christian young men, right? This, I'm going to reserve, you know, sex for marriage, and, you know, I'm married to Jesus until, you know, Jesus gives me a bride. You know, anyone remember having a purity ring? Right? No. Oh, a bunch of pagans in this room. But in any case, so I had this purity ring, and I used to wear it on my right hand, and it was me and Jesus, right? Bachelor to the rapture. That's what we used to say, and then I was at this meeting, and this prophetic couple, and they were ministering, and they walked up to me, and it was powerful. You said the Lord wants to say to you that you're going to be married, you know, and in fact, she says, in fact, and she took my ring off this hand. And she put it in this hand, you know, in this ring, and she said that the Lord is saying to you, you act like you're married now. You know, like in your heart, you are married. Now, you know, the interesting interlude to this is Lisa was standing about 3 feet behind me, you know, overhearing all of this, right? And right? It was the best prophetic word I get in my life, you know, during this time. But there's something about that activation. You act like you're married. I tell this story all the time. You know, my friend Che, you guys know Che Yan, who comes and ministers here. You know, Che one time he had TMJ, and it was really bad. You know, your jaw hurts and it's hard to chew. And he woke up one day and the Lord told him, "You're healed. You know, I'm healing. You are healed." And so he was excited. Oh man! So he went to eat, and man, his jaw hurt still. You know, but every time it hurt, he says, "No, the word of the Lord says I'm healed." And so he went on, he said this went on for about a month, and he finally woke up one day, and the reality of heaven finally came down to earth, and he was healed. Right at that moment, the pain was actually totally gone. And it's powerful. There's something about that kind of activation of that faith. You know, this is kind of really even laid out in our Lord's Prayer. If you remember when I did the whole series on the Lord's Prayer, you know, kingdom come, will be done, on earth as it already has been done in heaven. That's actually the correct translation. King, it's a command. Kingdom come, will be done. This is the command part of the prayer. You know, your will on earth, it's past tense, as it already has been done in heaven. You gotta understand, there's a will of heaven that's already been accomplished. And then he tells us to operate in here on earth. And with prayer and fasting and these kinds of things, the obedience to God, it brings down the will of heaven to earth where we can experience it in our time and age. It's happening right there. You know, in Luke chapter 1, you know, the story of Mary. Mary is meeting with the angel. And the angel tells Mary that you're gonna have a baby. And she's like, "That's impossible. You know, I'm a virgin." And these things. And remember, the angel responded, and the translation says, "And nothing will be impossible with God." Well, we understand that passage. Actually, if you actually take that and just break it down, actually a better translation is, "No spoken word of God shall be without ability." In other words, it's very clear, when God says it, as soon as, because the word there for impossible is the word rhema, which is a spoken word of God. And so in other words, when God says it, the power to perform what he said is attached to the word. And so Genesis, God says, "Let there be light." He said it. It's the spoken word of God. And as soon as he says it, boom, light happens. Now, you're a single person here. And you know God has spoken to you so clearly, you're supposed to be married. But you're not married right now. I want you to know, when God said that word, the power to perform that word was attached with that word. And you're married. You just haven't experienced it yet. It's the will of heaven has come down, and there's a seemingly a time period. This is the kingdom of God. It's here. It's also yet to come. And there seems to be this time period of God, and what brings that will down here to earth where we can experience it, you know, fully in this way. The manifestation of that is prayer, fasting, obedience. It seems to be one of these things that happens. And so, you know, when you have this kind of attitude, you know, that man, God's going to do it. He can do it. He will do it. In fact, many cases, he's already done it. And you walk in that confidence, that assurance. There's probably a gift of faith operating in your life in that way. So let me give you some examples in the Bible. I mentioned this. Noah. Noah has got to be one of the best examples in the Old Testament. Noah had a gift of faith. The passage is very big, okay? So I can't, it's Genesis 5:32 all the way to 9:18. But I think most of us know the story of Noah, okay? If you don't know the story of Noah, after service, go home and read Genesis 5:32 to 9:18. And so Noah was 500 years old when God appeared to him and said, "I want you to build an ark in the middle of the desert." On dry ground, he speaks to him about building this ark. Ridicule, criticism, people are bashing him. All kinds of things happen. And now he's 600 years old when the flood comes. And he finally gets into this place. Now, I want to tell you, the most amazing thing about the story of Noah? It wasn't that Noah was so old. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? I mean, he was old. Can you imagine asking an old man to build this humongous, And if you've ever been, this is a must do. And it's a travesty that more people don't in Hong Kong don't know about it. But you must go to Noah's Ark in Maiwan. Right, Matthew? Right? I mean, it is a life-size, you know, I mean, it's, when you walk in there, the first time I remember walking in, I was like, oh my God, this is massive. Right? Because you think Noah's Ark is small little, you know, we know it's more than a little fishing boat. But we have no idea this is huge. I mean, you can go to Maiwan and see this ark, you know, right there, and actually go inside and actually stay there. You know, we do a lot of our retreats there in the ark. And I mean, what's incredible was not that he was so old, not that he asked him to build it in the middle of the desert. I mean, that's crazy, right? Where there's been no rain for all these years. I mean, also amazing that the animals came in. You know, I mean, it's nuts how this happened. And it's, you know, it's also amazing that it was so big. But I'll tell you, this is not the most, you know, the most amazing part of this whole thing. This is my personal humble opinion. There were all these instructions to build the ark. There were no instructions of how to close the door of the ark. Can you imagine? You're building this massive thing and there's going to be flood. You know, and you're going to be protected. God said he's going to wipe the earth. He already shared that. But there is actually no plans in how that door is going to close. So can you imagine basically, you know, creating this boat with a huge hole on the side of it? That's crazy. And so we know that the Bible tells us that God closed the door. That was like the ultimate act of faith. You know, you create this boat to float, you know, on, but I mean, literally this huge whole side of the ark, one big opening, the water is surely going to get in. And God, I mean, isn't that great? God, he didn't give him any plans because God was going to show, kind of prove it all, not only by sending the water, but by closing the door. I think that's one of the most astonishing verses in this whole narrative. That simply said that God closed the door. It's 7:16 if you're curious. The Lord himself closed the door behind them. I mean, Noah, this man had a gift of faith. I mean, he definitely operated out of this gift. No matter the criticism came, no matter all the different questions, ridicule, he had a vision of God, instructions from the Lord, and he went for it. And he persevered for 100 years building this thing. I mean, this is that's the gift of faith. That's the Old Testament. Let me give you a New Testament example. Again, I can't read because it's so much, but I think it's geared down really in the Apostle Paul. I think the Apostle Paul had an amazing, amazing gift of faith. And you could see that through the course of his life and ministry, Paul demonstrates on many occasions the gift of faith that works out. Notice, remember those kind of signs that I shared? Remember, notice Paul started with a vision. And so he's on the road, right, to Damascus. And as he's on the road, what happens? Bam! Right? He gets, you know, off his horse and he gets a vision. God comes, well, Jesus comes and speaks to him, why are you persecuting me? And then he has this, later on given this vision of taking the gospel to the Gentiles. It starts, and Paul is unwavering in his pursuit to do this. We see, I'll just throw some examples of how this manifested. We see in Acts 16, the Macedonian call, how he's continued moving and in faith going to different places. We see that in Acts 21 and 9 to 14, well, he was told that he would speak before rulers and kings. And in Acts 21, we see that happening. He was unwavering until he comes to that place in Corinth. We see that God encouraged him to continue to stay strong when his life was in danger. And in Acts 18, 10 to 11, God came to him and said, don't worry, you have a lot of friends in this city. I'm going to take care of you. So he stayed there another year and a half, risking his life every single day for the cause of the gospel, to take the gospel to the Gentile world. He endured opposition from even his brethren, you know, from Peter and others about the gospel being sent. And so God had to come and speak to Peter through another vision, right, you know, of the clean and unclean and these things. And we see that Paul continued to be unwavering in his pursuit to take the gospel to the Gentile world. And then even in Acts 27, what happens as he's going on his way to Rome, the culmination of his Gentile ministry, and what happens? He gets shipwrecked. But that doesn't deter him. He continues on to Rome, and we see these stories come about. Apostle Paul received a vision from the Lord, and the gift of faith operated that he was unwavering in his pursuit to follow the Lord in that way. And so with this happening, these are examples in the Bible. Let me give you a personal example of my own, but I want to tell you this. Personal example, but in a way, a gift projection over our whole body. This is kind of cool. And so I believe that you all, as a church, are walking in some semblance of this gift of faith that's operating within our own body. And I'll tell the story this way. When I was a seminary student, you know, I studied missiology. I don't know if you knew this, but you know, I never wanted to be a pastor. I'm a very reluctant pastor. But pastor all the same. And so I wanted to be a missionary, so I was studying missiology, and my missions professor, Foundations of Missions, Charles Van Engen, you know, Dr. Van Engen, very clearly said, the best way to do missions or best way to do missiology is to plant churches overseas. And I don't know what it was. I was sitting in class, you know, to be honest, most times I was dozing off, I have to be honest. You know, seminary is not the most exciting place in the world. And I just remember when he said that, and just something in my heart just, boom, it just leapt. And I don't know what it was, but I just said, okay, yes, sir. You know, it's just one of those things. Okay, great. If that's the best way to do it, all right, then I guess we're going to do it this way. And that's basically how this seed, or how a vision, in essence, was planted. And particularly, even the idea, and so it started there. And so the first thing that I did is I got involved with the church plant. And so happened to be the church that my wife was going to. And so I joined the church, obviously. And this is, you know, before she would have nothing to do with me. But I had faith, you know. And so that church ended up planting a church. And I was involved in that church plant. And honestly, I wanted to learn as much as I could, because I knew this was the future, these kind of things. So I actually joined the staff, and I didn't take a salary. I was there for 2 years. I did not take a salary. Voluntarily, I just wanted to learn. And a lot of that is I wanted to learn to be a son. I feel like that's what God was speaking to me about. And so the church was new, you know, 120 members starting off. And so that's kind of how the journey began in that way. And then over a period of time, the vision gets more refined in this way. And it was plant churches in megalopolises. In other words, in major urban city centers. And I remember the first time I met Tim Keller. And I got invited to this thing. This is 8 years and years ago. And they were so smart. Tim was really going to start really expanding what they call City to City. And it was a New York urban church planting initiative. And they wanted to go global. And they felt God speak to them about going global, you know, Africa, Latin America, Asia, you know, all over the place. And so what he did is, very, very skillfully, he basically sent out emails to every single person in Hong Kong who downloaded a sermon, downloaded a Tim Keller sermon, and they emailed everyone and said, Tim is coming to your city on this date. Invite your pastor to come to this meeting. And so I had like 20 people come up to me and say, Pastor Sam, Tim Keller is coming to Hong Kong. You need to go. And I said, no, I don't want to go. Right? Well, I'll tell you a backstory. I knew a guy, and he had a church in New York, and he hated Tim. He said he waters down the gospel, and, you know, this is a lukewarm church, and all these kinds of things. And so I just thought, okay, well, Tim Keller is bad, you know, like he doesn't preach the gospel and stuff. And then, it's crazy, right? And then I met Tim, and I thought, this guy believes the gospel. Like, his whole life is the gospel, you know? And I realized that guy was just jealous. Right, because his church was small and Tim's church was so big in the same city. I was like, man, so I stopped talking to that guy, you know? It's true. I just like, I don't deal with jealousy. You know, it's a crazy animal, you know, and stuff. I mean, it's really nuts. And so, you know, okay, the funny story is, you know, I'm very blunt, right? So I'm having lunch with Tim. I said, hey, Tim, I really didn't want to like you, you know? And I told the whole story. I had a friend who says, you don't preach the gospel, and bro, I don't need to share that with him, you know? But I don't know why I find myself always blurting out these stupid things out of my mouth, you know? And he actually thought it was so funny, right, and kind of charming. And so, you know, so it ended up being a good thing at the end of this. And so Tim, I remember when I met Tim, and because he's really smart. If you know, he's really smart. I'm not that smart. And so Tim, he was able to articulate, basically put into words, everything that I was feeling in my heart. You know, I knew that we wanted to plant, you know, churches in major cities. I didn't know why. Like, I have no reasons besides that God spoke to me, you know. And then Tim, now he's like, you know, he's got books on it, right, and all kinds of different, it was so good. And he's able to articulate the very reasons why we're to do these things. And even armed with why. I mean, you know why? Listen, Acts 17:26, this is a sermon on Mars. So it says, and he had made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. In other words, God ordained that you would be born in this time and living in this place. And so you are meant to be in Hong Kong right now. It's not, your company didn't bring you here. It wasn't a relationship that brought you here. Or, you know, a one-year thing that you wanted to do. God brought you here. The Bible is very clear. It says very clearly. He says he had made from every nation mankind to live on the face of the earth, determine their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. He appointed you to be here now and in this place right now. This is kind of powerful. Did you know, when you think about this whole urban kind of thing, did you know this happened probably about 6 years ago? About 6 years ago, in the first time in the history of the world, more people are now living in city centers and urban than they are in the rural. You know, I mean, how long this world has been in business? First time in the history of the world that now people are living in urban instead of rural or suburban. That's crazy. So you know what God is doing? God is bringing people to the city. That's why we need strong churches in the city to share the gospel to the city, to the people that God is. There's a major shift happening in our world around us. And so when we started Solomon's Porch, we started with the vision that, you know, that six of us, you know, it didn't matter that half of them were probably not believers, you know, that six of us, we're going to plant churches globally, you know, in major cities all over Asia, all over the world. That's the vision. And brothers and sisters, we've been unwavering in this quest to follow God's heart. That's the gift of faith. You know, I know for us, listen, for us, we don't, it's just normal. And that's how the gift of faith operates, because it just seems so normal that we'll plant churches. I talk to pastors everywhere. You know, this is, we're, what, 16 years of our existence. We're about to plant our seventh church right now, you know, in Tokyo, 2020. It's crazy. You know, for us, it just seems so normal, doesn't it? Right? So natural. Of course we're going to send out our best, you know? We don't send out our losers, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, okay, losers is a losers is a really bad word. Let me take that back, okay? Well, yeah, I'm not saying that you guys, I get it. Sorry about that. That's not what I meant either, okay? Let me be honest. You know, a lot of churches, you know how they get rid of staff that are troublemakers? They send them to the mission field. It happens, man. I saw organization. These things happen all the time. The Catholic Church. How did they just send them off to another place, you know? And they call that church planting, or whatever the case may be. And it's horrible. We send out our best, and we keep our best too. Right? We have a lot of best. Okay? So it's like, note to self, don't say this in the next service. All right. But yeah, it just seems so natural, doesn't it, for us? It just seems so, that's the gift of faith that's operating. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know it's not just coming from me, it's coming from our whole body. When you are also praying and giving into and coming alongside the vision that God has given this house, you are also stepping in, and that's what we call gift projection, right? I remember when I was at the Vineyard, and John Wimber, because he has such a strong gift of a word of knowledge and healing, every Joe and Blow in the church, man, walk up to you and give you a powerful prophetic word. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was at the service, and just some random Vineyard person comes up to me, you know, or comes up to one of our guys and just gives us a word and just walks away. We're like, what in the world just happened? But just mind-blowing, because it's gift projection that happens there. And so that's a positive gift projection that happens. Let me tell you a negative way it happens too. The negative gift projection is you can't just project your gift on everyone. In other words, thinking that everyone should be like you. Right, like so I'm not going to walk around and tell other pastors, hey, are you planting churches? No? What's wrong with you, man? You know, something very, very wrong with your ministry. That's bad gift projection, because they may not have that gift or that calling to do that. You know what I mean? And so sometimes it happens that way. You can actually operate in a gift or this gift of faith and then just scorn others when they don't believe like you believe. You know, or when they question things, like and they'll take those things as criticism when they're just being normal, right? You need to realize that you're operating in the gift of faith, so there's something happening, God thing happening with you, but it may not be happening with somebody else, and so you can't judge other people that way and just, you know, accuse them of these things or look down upon them. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? That's not something that we should be doing. You know, you cannot project in this way. And so let me give you this quote. This is Kenneth Kinghorn from Asbury Seminary. He says this. He says, the person who has the gift of faith should not chide others for their lack of faith. After all, not every Christian possesses this gift. And so this is a good warning for us, that some of us that operate in this gift of faith, you can't look down on others that may not be operating that same level of faith that you are, because you're operating out of the gift. And so it's something that's precious there in that way. And, this is how I find the gift of faith working in me, you know, and hopefully that's projecting to us in this church. A tenacious going after the vision, regardless of circumstances or limitations, particularly in size and scope. You know, I mean, we're a small church, but doing some pretty cool stuff. You know, I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's the gift of faith that's operating within this body. You know, and the cool thing is, man, we all get to be part of this and partake in this faith that's happening. And so the last part, why should you want this gift? Why should you want this gift? Well, you know, faith is like prayer. You know what I mean? Like, every single person knows that we need more of it. You know what I mean? Like I to this day, I've not met one person, I share this, but I've not met one person ever that says, I am satisfied with my prayer life. Like, my prayer life is good. Like I don't need to pray more. So even Juanita, you know, our intercessor, who prays like 12 hours a day, she says, oh, I could pray more. You know, and, every time she says, I just want to shoot myself, you know? It's like, okay. But then there's another, I can't get, you know, that's negative gift projection, right? So, you know, you can be set free from that as well. And so, but faith operates the same way. I don't think there's any person here that says, I'm good with my level of faith, right? This level of faith that I have, this is good. This is it. This is enough for me. No. We, all of us could grow in our faith in this way. And I'll give you a good one. Hebrews 11:6. Maybe you're familiar. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. now. We all want to please God. Paul tells in Ephesians, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And we all want to do this thing, but think about it. What if God had a gift available to you that allows you to please Him more? Without faith, it is impossible. It's not improbable. It's impossible to please God. And could it be that, not only to bless our life, but could it be that God gives these gifts to His people that allows them to please God even more? I mean, just purely by that reasoning and logic, we should want this gift operating in our life. It's a gift of faith. How many of us would want this tenacious faith that doesn't let go, that is uncompromised until God brings this thing to pass? I think most of us could say, I'd like a dose of that. You know, one order of faith, please, for me. You know what I mean? I mean, that's in fact 10 orders. I mean, that's pretty crazy. And as I shared in the beginning of the message today, particularly in the climate that we're living in right now in Hong Kong, that this gift of faith would arise within our lives is very, very important. This is why you should want this gift. So let me invite the worship team to come. I believe, I was praying this week, I believe there are a number of you here that you have this gift. I believe it. And it builds the body of Christ. It is just something that you have it. So I'm gonna do the prayer time a little differently today, okay? Just a little differently. We're going to pray, as we always do, but we're going to pray a little different this way. And so this is not being prideful, right? Because remember, this is a gift. You didn't do anything for this gift. It's grace. It's the same word, right, in Greek, charis, which is grace and gift. And so when you're saying, and when you're identifying that I may be operating in this gift, you're not saying, whoa, I've arrived. You know, I don't know. So this is a humble thing. But if you believe, this is really simple. If you believe, maybe you saw those signs and some of those really resonate with you, and you believe that you may be operating in this gift, and maybe you don't have the fullness of it, but you just come to this place and say, you know, I think that there's something there, PSAM, that I'm drawn to. You probably have the gift of faith, okay? And so I want you to come up right now. Real simple, just very nonchalant. This is cool. This is, you know, this is how I'm going to bless the body of Christ, okay? Yeah, just come. I know there's a number of you here. Okay, I want you to stand in one line, and I want you to face the audience, because you're going to be the prayers today, okay? So spread out, stand in line. Yeah, you're not being prideful. In fact, this is a very humble act. And the Bible tells us to impart. Maybe we can squish over a little bit, scoot down a little bit. Okay, and as the worship team leads us in song, and you want to you want this gift, I want you to come. Okay, real simple. I want you to come, and I want you to stand in front of one, and I want you to lay hands, and I want you to impart. Really simple, okay? Lay hands and impart the gift. All right, so Pastor Nate, why don't you lead us? If you are hungry for this, right? Remember, the Bible says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And so this is just part of the desiring earnestly. I want you to come. I want you to stand before one of these brothers and sisters. I want you to lay hands on them just on the shoulder, and I want you to impart. Just pray for them. Impart the gift. Fan the flame. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Nate. We're going to continue to pray. I want the rest of us to stand to our feet and let's sing before the Lord. Pray together. Let me give you some advice before we pray, okay? You know, the gift of faith is not just for the individual and individual circumstances. The gift of faith, remember, God gives gifts to benefit the body. You know how this gift really works beautifully? You know those guys that stood up here? If you in your journey and you're going through some circumstances and you need an infusion of faith, you should find one of these guys, these men and women that operate in this gift of faith, and you should pray together. Because what they'll do, when the gift of faith, when they operate in that, they will not only project in a very positive way, but they will infuse faith in your life. Because it flows out of them. It's the manifestation of the Spirit. And maybe you're in a time where it seems very dismal, you know, it feels very dark, and you can never see how this vision is going to come to pass. This is how God arranges the body of Christ. And so you find one of these guys and young ladies that operate in this gift, and you say, can you pray for it? Because a lot of times the gift of faith actually works right alongside of intercession. And so you can have them pray with you, and I guarantee there will be this infusion of faith and life that comes about. That's how God builds the body of Christ. It's not just a gift for you to have, and, oh, okay, I got a lot of faith. It has nothing to do with that, but it's meant for the body of Christ. Amen? You guys understand? So let's pray. Lord, thank you. God, Lord, I am so blown away, God. There are so many awesome men and women of God in this body, in this service, Lord, that you have given them the gift of faith, God, where they can see. I pray, Lord, first and foremost, that gift would continue to grow. Lord, that these men and women would steward that gift before you, God, and they would be faithful with that talent, God, that gift that you've given to them. Lord, that it could grow even more so and bring greater benefit to the body of Christ. And I pray for others, God, Lord, that want to receive the gift. I pray an impartation, Lord. They would receive, God, this gift of faith in their life. And others that may not be operating, but that need an infusion of faith, they would seek after those that operate in the gift, God, that the body of Christ may be built and strengthened together. So we thank you for that, Lord. God, we're so blessed. And Lord, it's not by accident, God, that when you left this planet, the question that you had was, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And Lord, and faith is going to rise in this house, God. Faith over this city is going to rise in this house. Faith over our family situations, our workplaces, God, is going to rise in this house. So come, Holy Spirit, and infuse faith in the midst of us, God. You will find faith on the earth, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.